Nobody came here, not from Highbanks or any of the other scattered Cree villages, ostensibly because there was no game. But whatever the local people blamed it on, they all knew the story, the legend of the valley that had two names, English and Cree. Resurrection Valley, Asiskewu, the heart of the bad country. Rachel stood clutching her forearms, her skin covered in goose flesh.
Was that Cameron?
Rachel, don't move.
A small tendril had emerged from the soil at the base of one of the rocks. It was dark, almost black. Then the top of it split open and a cloud of dust spread from its ruptured tip, drifting upward. They stepped back to avoid it, and more dust settled over them, emanating from somewhere behind them. Rachel waved at the dusty air with her hands. Then her hands went to her neck, as though she were trying to choke herself. Jake felt the burn in the back of his throat. More clouds were rising into the air all around them, enveloping the small rock formation. Jake stripped off his shirt, ripped it in half, and wound one end around Rachel's face.
Come on!
A patch of relatively uncontaminated air led down into an open stretch of muddy ground. Rachel headed toward it.
Not there! We go into it!
She tried to pull away from him.
I can't breathe!
Rachel!
He took a loose rock and flipped it sideways down the alley of clean air. The rock skipped 3-4 times, skittering across the surface into the muddy ground. The mud rippled underneath its path, the earth bulging and then flattening. Around them, more tendrils split open. Jake's vision was blurry through his watering eyes. Rachel's eyes were almost completely red, and she reached for his face as though trying to confirm his identity. Instead, she reached around behind him and pulled the ends of his torn shirt into a knot, cinching the fabric over his mouth and nostrils. Then she gave him a single nod. They went north, through a thick cloud of spores, and leapt from one rock to the next, dropping down to the muddy ground only when they had to, staying in the rocks when they could. Rachel was beginning to flag, her face almost purple. Jake stopped on a flat rock and pulled the shirt bandana from her mouth. He shook it out, then did the same with his own, sending out a thick cloud of gray. The fabric was almost entirely plugged with spores.
Rachel!
Then her eyes rolled back in her head. Jake caught her as she fell, then slung her over his shoulder. For a second, he considered a tracheotomy, then he remembered he'd given his knife to Cameron. Cameron, whose EpiPen had saved Jake the day before. He turned and ran back towards the river, eyes trained on the ground, trying not to breathe. He had not put the bandana back over his mouth. In 30 yards, he saw a wide, shallow rut in the mud and turned down it. Here was a sharp heel print of a boot, digging into the ground. There, the severed stump of a tendril. He rounded another corner and stopped in cleaner air. Rachel's struggles had ceased entirely. Cameron lay entangled in coils just a few yards away. The gray lengths that held him were now a pinkish, healthy color. His eyes were filmed over, and one of his hands was pressed over his chest, as though he had died pledging allegiance. His hand was curled around the hilt of Jake's knife, at the center of a dark, maroon stain that covered most of his torso. The large coils encircling his torso were marked with long slashes. One of the tendrils had curled around his neck and crawled up his face to enter his ear. The lobe split open to reveal pink cartilage. Another tendril was twined around his forearm and wrist, just a few inches away from the knife handle. Jake draped Rachel across a 4-foot-high boulder and staggered forward. He stepped carefully over one tendril, then the other. He leaned forward and unbuttoned Cameron's shirt pocket, withdrawing a black plastic case. He tucked it into a pocket of his jeans, staring at Cameron's hand, still wrapped around the hilt of Jake's knife.
Another trap! Let it go! No, it's distracted. Feeding.
He pried Cameron's fingers free and set the cold, claw-shaped hand down to rest on Cameron's belly. The knife had gone in between the ribs, and the blade streaked with dark heart's blood. The tendrils around him tensed, repositioned. Jake held still, not even breathing. One of the tendrils, large and pale, wormed forward along Cameron's ribs and began to explore the gore around the entrance wound. Jake watched as the pointed end entered the narrow wound. The rest of the tendrils rose up in anticipation. He waited. The tendril entered the wound several more inches, paused, then slithered forward. Something bulged across Cameron's stomach, and the pale tendril began to darken. Around Jake, the rest of the tendrils, which had risen up as though in expectation, settled back down.
Hang on, Rachel.
Jake backpedaled slowly, careful not to tread on the other tendrils. When he was free of the tangle, he picked Rachel off the rock and staggered away into a patch of air that was relatively clear of spores. He laid Rachel down on the stony ground. Her neck was twitching with an erratic pulse, but he felt no breath when he placed his hand in front of her mouth. He opened the plastic case and withdrew one of the pens, flipping the protective end off of the short needle. He inspected it quickly, released the safety latch on the end, and placed the needle port against the throbbing vein in the side of her neck. A small fountain of blood jetted out around the tip as he depressed the plunger. His sweat dripped, pattering down onto her upturned face.
Come on, Rachel.
After a moment, he leaned down and tilted her head back, digging his fingers into the back of her mandible to force her mouth open. He pressed his lips against hers and exhaled, feeling the air push back against him, nowhere to go. He waited 10 seconds. He thought he felt her chest expand slightly under his hand. This time, he felt her chest swell. He pulled back, watching her throat. It looked the same, the pulse still hammering erratically, but now there was movement in her throat muscles.
Good girl.